Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Texts 32 and 33. I believe it's 32 that's written up there, so we'll chant that one together. Pranapano Sarudayat Purta Kumbhakare Chakai Yavan manas chyajet kaman Swanasagra nirikshana Pranapano sanirudyat Pura kumbhakare chakai Yavan manas chyajet kaman Swanasagra nirikshana Pranapano sanirundyat Pura kumbhakare chakai Ravamanas chajet kaman Swanasagra nirikshana Vaishnavis. Prana, incoming breath. Apano, outgoing breath. Sani rundyat, should stop. Purakumbhakarachakai, by inhaling, exhaling, and holding, which are technically known as Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rachaka. Yavat, so long. Manah, the mind. Tyajet, should give up. Kaman, all material desires. Swa, one's own. Nasa Agra, the tip of the nose. Nidikshana, looking at. Yataha, 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 from whatever and wherever. Nisadati, withdraws. Manaha, the mind. Kamahatam, being defeated by lusty desires. Brahma, wandering. Tata, tata, from here and there. Upaditya, after bringing it back. Riddhi, within the core of the heart. Rundyat, should arrest the mind. Shanai, gradually by practice. Buddha, a learned yogi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercises through the technical means known as puraka, kumbhaka, and rachaka, controlling inhalation and exhalation, and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. Purport. The practice of yoga is concisely explained herein. When this practice of yoga is perfect, one sees the Supersoul, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the core of one's heart. However, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 47, the Supreme Lord says, Yoginam api sarvesham mad gitain antaratmana shravan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. A devotee can immediately become a perfect yogi because he practices keeping Krishna constantly within the core of his heart. This is another way to practice yoga easily. The Lord says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto majyaji mam namaskaru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. If one practices devotional service by always keeping Krishna within the core of his heart, manmana, he immediately becomes a first-class yogi. Furthermore, keeping Krishna within the mind is not a difficult task for the devotee. For an ordinary man in the bodily concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful, but one who immediately takes to devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tenamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacharadeshatarine. So, this sounds difficult. The yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. What to speak of material desires, he even has to give up mental desires. And it says here, but it doesn't work, because it goes on in the next sentence. It says, even he does that, you know, he restricts his mind from all material attachments and gives up the mental desires. And you think, okay, well, I did it, I made it. But then it says, as soon as the mind becomes defeated by lusty desires, in other words, he does that, and then the mind becomes defeated by lusty desires. So he has to, that defeat is that the mind drifts towards feeling of sense gratification. The yogi has to immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And, as Purport Prabhupada immediately points out, that it's actually not the best process. He, quotes from the end of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, Yogi Namapi Sarvesham, that the best yogi is actually one who is always intimately united with Krishna in devotional service. So we're very fortunate that, we've come in contact with this knowledge, and we don't have to take the trouble, because it sounds like it would be very troublesome to try to do that type of thing. And just by engaging in devotional service, we achieve that same goal, that same desired result, and being able to control the mind. So basically, engaging in devotional service means following the instructions of the spiritual master. There's so many instructions from that Prabhupada has given us, and of course, we just have to follow all of them, and by doing that, we're in controlling the mind. One particular instruction that came to my mind when I was reading this purport was that in one lecture in Bombay, about 1974, Prabhupada said the best way to control the mind, aside from all the other things he'd already told us, is to be always thinking about how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And so that's a very powerful thing. It's like a positive process rather than, you know, always trying to restrict and restrain. We're just the opposite. We're engaging. And we're controlling the mind like that. And actually, we're very fortunate here in New Dwarka. We have one excellent opportunity to do that. Shastrakrit, the other day, we're having our separate class over in the restaurant. And in his talk, he made the point. He said, actually, New Dwarka's got to be one of the best places in the world for preaching Krishna consciousness. And, you know, aside from, like, reasons like, you know, the climate's good and this and that, the main real reason is that there's such a nice cooperative mood here. You know, actually, the temple is set up in such a way that, you know, if somebody wants to engage in sankirtan, they have full facility plus. I know, every ever temple I've ever been part of before I came here to New Dwarka, you always had to worry about Lakshmi. And it was always like a worry. Sankirtan devotees always had to, you know, be always concerned about, am I collecting enough Lakshmi for my books, you know. But here in New Dwarka, the whole thing is, the structures are all arranged in such a way that basically you just go out, and you don't really have to be in, you know, tremendous anxiety or any anxiety about that, because, you know, by the expert management of our temple president and his wife and all the other devotees are participating, we have different sources of income. You have the restaurant, the gift shop, there's donors. So really just if somebody wants to be a sankirtan devotee, all they have to just do is, you know, have good sadhana and be enthusiastic to go out and do it, and then just try, and, you know, you're okay. And that's a, you know, a great blessing, because actually it's you know, it's like you can distribute a lot of Krishna consciousness when you have that backing and support. So actually one thing that immediately comes up, emerges from that, is that it's really it's a team. You know, like when we're doing this weekend thing, they came up with the title Team New Dwarka. Well, actually, it's Team New Dwarka, even before they put that title to it. Really, this is Team New Dwarka, because, you know, as I said, the way things are organized, it's everybody who's doing pretty much any service here in New Dwarka, they're doing something that's helping, facilitating sankirtan, helping the you know, the preaching and helping the books go out. So that's really nice, and it's really wonderful to have the opportunity to be part of, you know, an arrangement like this, a community like this. And so I'd just like to encourage everybody to try to, you know, take full advantage of it. And because it's like, you know, we have the support of our, you know, the infrastructure here, and then if you actually go out, it's like a place, part of the world where people are kind of favorable. Not all of them, but there are a lot of favorable people out there, and it's not, you know, it's not hard to find them. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's I think it's in the 16th chapter, Krishna explains how there's, or maybe it's the 15th. There's two types of beings: there's the divine and the demoniac, and when you go out on sankirtan, you really, you know, see that very quickly and easily, because people really identify themselves, you know, who they are. It's not hard to, you know, to find out who your customers are, so to speak. You just, if you just hold the book out, you just have to hold the book out, and you'll see that there's some people who they're not even able to look at the book, what to speak of touch it. They can't even look at it. They can't even look at you. And then there's other people that you're just holding a book out, and from like 50 feet away, they'll, you know, they immediately, like somehow or another, just Super Soul just tells them, hey, over there. And they just look, and they look at it, and a big smile comes on their face, and then they just stand there, like, and you just come, and they come over. So it's just like that. It's really, it's almost, especially, there's nothing to it. You know, that's, and the longer I'm doing Sankirtan, the more I'm experiencing that there's nothing to it. It's just like these days, all I say to people is, you know, you have to first stop a person, and you just, one simple way to do that is use what's called a qualifying question, which is basically just figure out, think of the most obvious thing. Like, say if somebody's at the mall, you say, excuse me, are you shopping or do you work here? Most obvious thing. You know, if they just pull up in their car someplace, you say, oh, is that your car? Just anything. Anything they're going to answer yes to. And then you hand them the book. And I say, this is about meditation. And they look at the book, you know. If they're able to take it, you know. Then I just say, yeah, you look like a deep thinker. They like that. And I say, that's for you to keep. They like that. Because everybody, you know, everybody likes to hear that, oh, it's mine. You know, it's a nice looking book. It's mine. And I say, can you give a donation? And that's it. And for a lot of people, that's 100% absolutely enough. You know, as I said, you know, there's this divine and demoniac nature. So, and of course, it's not black and white. It's like shades of gray. But, you know, the less contaminated somebody is, the more easily they just accept it. And there's a lot of people just with that much will just go, yeah, sure. What's a donation? I say, what works for you? And they just give something. And then there's, you know, then there'll be, there's the category of people who will go, well, what's it about? Sometimes I say, it's none of your business. No, I'm just kidding. Then I said, well, here, I'll show you. And I opened up the Bhagavad Gita to that picture with the man with the bull's head and the bull with the man's head. And I show them that picture, believe it or not. And they, you know, and I paused for like, I gave it about 3 seconds for them to look at it. And I go, no, I'm just kidding you. And they're, oh, okay, of course. You know, because they always, you know, they're fascinated by that picture and they're shocked by that picture. And anyway, I just say, no, a friend of mine did that picture. It's a picture about karma. See, it's a man with a bull's face and a bull with a man's face. It's just showing how the roles get reversed. You know, what goes around comes around. They go, oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's for you. Keep it with you. And just, could you give a donation to help out? And, you know, that's all you have to do. It's just so simple. And as I said, there's people there, but, you know, it's there's people who, you can't get discouraged. There's people who literally, you know, I'm in a mall, say, or any place, who I'm walking right up to them, and, you know, they look like nice people, but they just, what to speak of, like, say no thank you or anything like that, they just totally ignore me as if they don't even see me. And I'm practically right in their face, you know, but they have a way of just, and then, as I said, this is the opposite end of the, you know, spectrum as well. So for a distributor, just a very important thing is just, you can't be attached. Just, you know, you have to be in the consciousness. I'm just going to go out there and do my duty. You know, it starts with when you wake up in the morning, or it starts, of course, you know, the night before even, but just have to, you know, make sure we're just chanting our rounds and following the regular principles and, you know, doing all the things we're supposed to be doing, and then just go out there and just do it. And there's going to be people who are going to totally ignore you, and there's going to be people who are going to hug you, you know, and you know, be so happy. And thank you so much for being out there. Thank you so much for giving me this book. And then, as I said, there's people who are going to not just totally ignore you, but then and there's people who's going to curse at you. And that happened to Bhakti Eric yesterday for his first time. He was kind of shocked. But, yeah, so it's very, very simple. And, you know, we're in a place where really all the devotees, you know, could try it. Like I said, we don't have to have that anxiety of, like, going out there and, well, what if I don't, person doesn't give me a, you know, such and such amount of Lakshmi, so what? Don't worry about it. You know, just talk to Suvas. He'll give you books that you can distribute that are not so expensive, and, you know, you make some sort of an arrangement for you. You have a great opportunity to practice here, you know, to, you can make a lot of mistakes here in New Dwarka, you know, to get good at it. There's a lot of, you know, room for that. So it's that's really fortunate too, and and another thing I, you know, wanted to mention is that, like, lately I've been due to you know, good association, I've been listening to Amla Bhakta's narrations of the Krishna book. You know, as I'm driving out to Sankirtan, and every time we come back to reload books, you know, at the van, immediately turn that on. And And I've just been sort of reflecting, wow, where have I been? How come, you know, how come I haven't been doing this for the last, I don't know how many years ago he produced that, 30 years or something like that. But, you know, Madhavendra Puripu, probably most of you know him, he kind of turned me on to it, so to speak. And it's terrific. It's such an easy way, such an easy and pleasurable way to remember Krishna. You know, it's like you're just hearing that all these pastimes of Krishna, and I'm finding that the more I listen, the more you get absorbed in it. You know, you actually kind of you start experiencing more and more. You know, as you go on listening, and actually, especially when you're on Sankirtan, last night we were at this mall, the shops at Montebello, and we were doing, you know, we were reloading the books, and we had the narration on, and you know we're just kind of like loading up books. And I looked at Bach Derek. I said, Bach Derek, are you experiencing what I'm experiencing? He said, and he just gave me a big smile. I said, isn't this like nectar just listening to this? And you know, it seems to come alive. You know, there's that verse in Lord Chaitanya Shashastakam. He says, Vijayavada Jivanam, Sankirtan is the life of all transcendental knowledge. And, you know, Krishna book is certainly transcendental knowledge. And we're out there on Sankirtan and we're hearing the Krishna book as we're coming back to reload in the van. And it really seemed to, like, you know, I don't know. Have I heard this before? I must have, but wasn't getting anything like out of it like this before. But so that was, you know, it's really nice. And anyway, one sort of kind of realization occurred to me when I was thinking about this whole thing over the last few days is that, you know, I know myself. I kind of over the years I drifted into this mentality: if I only trust Prabhupada, you know, it'll be nice. I'll associate with everybody and this and that, but I only really trust Prabhupada. And that's why over the years I just always listen to Prabhupada lecture tapes. I don't practically listen to anybody else. And I'm only reading Prabhupada's books. And that's good, I guess. You know, it is good. It's nothing. But you know, when I started doing this, it occurred to me that, well, you know, wait a second. You know, if I actually, that means I'm limiting Prabhupada also. Because what is the one, you know, one major glory of the pure devotee is that he's able to inspire other people in Krishna consciousness and create other pure devotees. See? So to just say that I'm only going to take shelter of Prabhupada, I mean, exclusively, and it's kind of like, as I said, it's limiting him. It's like it's going, well, wasn't Prabhupada great enough that he was able to create some other pure devotees or create some other devotees who are advanced devotees? I don't know, pure devotees, but advanced devotees, devotees who we can get inspiration from and enlightenment from. So I think the answer to that question is yes, and I'm experiencing that. You know, that we can benefit a lot from the service of our, you know, God brothers, God sisters, who are also advanced in Krishna consciousness, maybe not to the, you know, level that Prabhupada is, but certainly, you know, we can get a lot of benefit from their, you know, nice contributions and devotional service too. And so basically, you know, we just have to try to take advantage of this incredible opportunity we have here in New Dwarka. And try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, I know in different seminars by Sheshikapu, he makes this point about the ripe fruit. You know, and I meditate on such a great example that we just have to, you don't have to worry about, you know, the people who aren't ready. There's so many people out there that are ready, and all we have to do is just show up. Basically, that's all you have to do is just be present, practically. Just show up. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I lived on a kibbutz in Israel for a couple months, and half the day they were trying to teach us Hebrew, and the other half of the day we were picking grapefruits. And so I actually picked fruit, so I know a little something about it. And it's true that when you go out there, you know, and you climb up in the tree, or you know, that's just what we had to do, or up on a ladder, and the fruits that are ripe, you practically do nothing. You know, they're just there, and you just go, it's still in the tree, and you just go, boop. You just kind of like hold it and just kind of go, just give it a little tug, and it comes right off, and it's right there. And the fruits that aren't ripe, you know, that you can pull, you can tug, you know, you just, and you have to, it doesn't come off, you know. And even if you got one off after a hard struggle, it's an unripe fruit. It's sour, you know, it's bitter because it hasn't ripened. See? Sometimes they had us go up there with clippers and just kind of, you know, you have to clip them. But generally speaking, no, you just go for the ripe fruit and the ones that have already fallen on the ground. Sometimes they're good too, but a lot of times they have worms in them or something like that. So the thing is this, that there's so many people out there that are in that category of their ripe fruit, and you just don't really have to do much. You just have to be present, meet them, say hi. Vaisheshika, you know, Sankirtan seminars gives that as a, says it's a very powerful mantra. It's one, you know, hi. That's it, hi. And they go, if they say hi back, then you go, hey, great, here, this is our meditation. It's like I was saying, that's it, it's so simple. And you could say, well, you know, this sounds like too simple, but actually if you stop and think about it, there's one devotee, he's no longer distributing, but I mean, he's still a devotee. His name is Harinamananda, and on one day he distributed 911 books. And, you know, he was out there in the street distributing them. It wasn't like he was, you know, just dumped like a whole big bunch of them off some factory or something like that. But he was actually meeting people one after the other. So if you do the arithmetic, you know, you can't distribute that many books and talk to people for very long. There's not that many, you know, there's not enough time. So basically, I actually spoke to a devotee who was going around with him. He was just spending like, you know, he spent maximum 2 minutes with somebody, like maximum. So, yeah, and he would do stacks too. Right, he'd give a lot. And, you know, yeah, maybe I haven't evolved or advanced to that stage yet, but, yeah, you give more than one book to a person. But you really can't spend a lot of time with people, and you don't have to. It's just more and more what I'm experiencing. It's just really just a few seconds, and then either they're into it or they're not, so to speak. So anyway, that's kind of all I had to say. I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, Gruntaraj Shima. Oh, yeah, we have Buck Derek. Yeah, yes, yes. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole kind of premise of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that actually, you know, as this knowledge is passed down, you know, as it's kind of bitten by Sutta Goswami and then passed down, it actually becomes even sweeter.
Yeah, right. Sukha Mukhadam Ritam Dravasam. Yeah, right, that's a verse like that in the first chapter, isn't it? First chapter. Yeah, right, that's a very important point, actually, that, you know, the devotees even expand the mercy. Like that, it becomes sweeter. Just, and I think the example given is like you have a mango, and when the parrot pecks on it, it actually makes it sweeter. You see? So, yeah, thank you. Anybody else?
When you were saying how we don't have to say much, I was dressed in dhoti kurta, and then I was distributing in a Spanish neighborhood. And I don't know much Spanish, so all I was saying is only three words. Monje, meditación, donación. And they were taking.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and one after another, like, they were taking. Sometimes they're like lining up to see what's going on.
Lining up.
Yes, you've made it sound very easy, but there's also yayatama parpadyante. I've noticed, because I don't go out that often, but when I do, go out with personalities like yourself and Shastrakrit, because you're so surrendered, Krishna sends you the cream of the crop. Like the last time I was out with Shastrakrit, we were in Pasadena, and he was distributing back and forth, and a young boy, maybe 7, 8 years old, came across the street, came up to him and asked him for the book. And so he turned and said, you really want this book? He said, yes. He said, I'm writing a paper on Buddhism. And so I think I would like this book. So he took it, and he probably gave the best donation of the day. He gave like a pretty good donation. So that's my realization. If you go out, the more you go out, the more Krishna sends the sweeties to you. So that's also encouraging, is that even if you have a rough time the first time or the second time, just keep going out, and Krishna will see that you're surrendering, and he will send you all the sweeties. There are so many more I could tell you about, but at least that one really stood out.
Prema Sankirtan.
Bhargupati Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
You can still try to distribute more books, you know, to one person. Haribol? Haribol? We have JSD, we have SSR. Hare Krishna. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You can still try to distribute, you know, you start to be more and more expert. You're really great inspiration for me. I will try to learn from you more and more. And like Ramananda, you can, you know, we have SSR, we have JSD, and maybe in future, you know, Krishna book, maybe soft or hardcore. I think it's possible for you, definitely. And it will be great inspiration for other distributors in America. It's why only two books. There are so many books, and it's possible, especially in this time. They can give you some Lakshmi for that, you know. So I think it's possible. You should try.
Okay.
To one person, maybe three, four, five books, something like that. Hare Krishna.
But just, I mean, there's one devotee who, sometimes we go to these concerts and they have what's called the blowout, which just means it's the concert's over and everybody's coming out, like, you know, a lot of people, big stream of people at once. And it's like a stampede. And most of us just, we always thought that it's impossible. You can't distribute during this, because people are just stampeding out. But he just developed this technique. He put himself right at the exit. And he just, like, plunk himself down there, and he have his books now, and he just hold the books out, and he wouldn't say anything. He just hold the books out, and he's just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Hare. And that's all he does, he just chants. And the people, and he holds it out like that, and, you know, and then the people who want it, the people come over, and they go, what is it? You know, he says, meditations are just a donation, just a donation. And he does, like, a lot of books like that, you know, and we all just realize, wow, it's internal potency. You just have to, you know, make the endeavor and remember Krishna and Prabhupada, and by Krishna's arrangement, you know, the books go out. Anybody else, anything? Okay, go into it. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Think about this.